Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to worship on this, the sixth Sunday of Easter. It's good to worship with you together, even if we must worship online for the time being. But we won't have to worship only online forever. The time is coming when we will gather once again here in the sanctuary as the people of God. This past Monday, the Board of Elders met via telephone conference, and they set the weekend of June 7th as the weekend that we can once again start meeting together here. There will be a number of social distancing precautions that St. Louis County prescribes, and we will have to follow, and we will certainly do that. And we will communicate that prior to that weekend. We also understand that even if we do start meeting again on June 7th, not everyone will be ready or feel safe enough to come back and worship at that time. And we understand that. That's why we will still be video streaming our services even after we can meet together. In the next couple of weeks, you will receive communication from me as to what we can all expect as we gather again here at Chapel of the Cross. We will share that via email blast as well as through the regular mail. So please keep an eye on your mailboxes over the next number of weeks. Keep going to our website. If you remember, that's chapelofthecross.org. You can go there for Bible classes and Sunday school. You can download the bulletin for this worship service there on the Resources tab. You may give your offering to the Lord using the Give tab on the website, or you can simply mail in your offering to the church office. For our worship today, I will be leading the liturgy and preaching the sermon. Dave Funke will be our lector. Ryan Meyer, Denise Koch, Mark Peterson, and Linda Christian will be leading our music. May God bless our worship this day as we begin with singing our opening hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. It's number 821 in Lutheran Service Book. We will sing the first four verses.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The three sad days have quickly sped. He rises glorious from the dead. All glory to our risen head. Alleluia. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Even as we glory in the gift of eternal life, in that hope we spend our days in joyful repentance and faith. Let us confess our sin, the sin that so easily still afflicts us, and receive the full forgiveness our Lord daily provides for us. Lord God, though the strife is over, the battle done, and now is the victor's triumph won, still sin hangs on. We are your baptized people. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us into your Easter joy. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you have assured us that our redemption is complete through the resurrection of your Son. Give us the will to do in our lives what we profess with our lips, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 17. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We read responsively Psalm 66. Praise our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Listen, come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 3. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, do not be frightened. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Son, they called him Jesus. because he
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The word number 655, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to just a few verses from the gospel reading appointed for this day from John chapter 14. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." In the name of Jesus, Christian friends, caught my eye a news story of how the FBI has warned about online dating scams. The FBI receives more than 15,000 reports of romance scams every year. More than half of those involve losses of money, and sometimes very significant losses of money. Like a woman in Clinton County, Ohio, who lost $475,000 to someone who she met on an online dating site, and she sent him money by credit card and by cash and gift cards to a guy she thought was living in Egypt. Another woman gave more than $1 million over 2 years to a man who said he was a businessman from England. But in actual fact, nothing what he said over those 2 years was the real truth. Not his job, not where he lived, not even his name. There are very many stories like that. Stories that perhaps don't involve $1 million, but stories that involve fake love, imitation love, counterfeit love. Ohio's Attorney General Dave Yost says this. He says, "A fake online romance can break your heart and break the bank. Knowing how to spot the red flags can keep bad love from getting worse." And then I read this headline. Could he be the one? FTC sues Match.com for leading on consumers with fake love letters. So the Federal Trade Commission said that nearly 500,000 people bought subscriptions to Match.com after receiving what they called fraudulent messages from the dating site. The FTC suit said that the company used ads that advertised messages like this: "She just emailed you. Could she be the one?" to trick consumers into buying consumers to Match.com in order to see the fake messages sent to them. And they were fake messages, playing with people's hearts, playing with people's emotions just for a buck. Just another example of fake love, imitation love, counterfeit love, which is really no love at all. But you know, you see this in other places too. It's not just online dating sites that's fake love, imitation love, counterfeit love. Sometimes we have that kind of fake love even in our own homes. And because of that fake love, imitation love, counterfeit love, so many homes and hearts and families and friendships and relationships become broken. But it's not just in our homes, is it? It can even show up, of all places, in our churches. Because we say, "Oh, Lord, we love you." But sometimes it doesn't show, does it? "Lord, I love you." And then we insert just this little word. "But." "Lord, I love you, but I want to work today." Or, "Lord, I love you, but, you know, I really don't have time for prayer or Bible class or devotions." Or even, "Lord, I love you so much, but you know, this morning I've got something else planned." But you understand, don't you? You know that I love you. You know that I love you, but. Happens like that, doesn't it? Even to us. Happens to the best of us. Happened with Simon Peter. Remember what Peter said to Jesus? "Lord, I love you. I love you so much, I will follow you anywhere." In fact, Lord, I love you so much, I will lay down my life for you. But when the time came when Jesus was arrested, and a woman came up to Peter and said, "Hey, you're one of Jesus' disciples, aren't you? I can tell." Peter said to her, "What are you talking about? I don't know that man at all. I don't know him. Jesus, I love you, but when the chips are down, I do not know you." That's what he said. Happens to the best of us. And really, it happens all the time. We've got a hard time loving. Not very good at loving. We are pretty good at the fake kind of love, you know, the imitation kind of love, the counterfeit kind of love. But the real deal, that's hard. Impossible, really, on our own. We can't do it. But there is one who can. Only one. Only Jesus. And it's Jesus who comes into our hearts and he teaches us how to love. It's Jesus who comes and he shows us what love is. He brings husbands and wives together and he gives them love for one another. He brings us into our families and shows us love and gives us love in those relationships. He comes and he loves us and he shows us then how to love. You know how he's done it. You know his love. How he sacrificed himself. How he was obedient to the Father. How he surrendered his own life for ours. You know his love. How he was born for us and how he lived for us, how he died for us. You know his love. How he went to the cross and he took our sins on himself. You know his love. How he rose from the grave on the third day and gave the gift of life, eternal life in heaven. You know his love, that special love, that love that he has for you. You know it. Oh, how deep is his love for us. And it is not a fake love, an imitation love, a counterfeit love. That's the real deal. And you know his love. He's shown that love to you. And he teaches us how to love. You know, I think sometimes when we look at a text like this, like our gospel reading, where Jesus says, "I want you to love me, and I want you to obey my commandments," we see that and we kind of feel like he's making some kind of ultimatum for us. You better love me, or else. You better obey me, or else. But really, that's not how our God operates. God only asks for the love of his people after they have experienced his love for them. You know, think back to the children of Israel. I mean, they're in the land of Egypt, remember? They're in slavery and bondage. Just a miserable existence. They were treated horribly. And then when the Lord's got enough of that, he picks Moses and he says, "Moses, I've got a job for you. Go take my people out of the land of Egypt and take them to the land that I have promised to them." And Moses leads those people out of the land of Egypt. And it looked kind of bad for a little bit, didn't it? Yeah, they're fleeing Egypt and all of a sudden the Red Sea is right in front of them. And they look to their left and there's a mountain there. And they look to the right and there's another mountain. And they look behind them and there comes the Egyptian army. They want their slaves back. They don't want to do that all that work on their own. And it looks like a very bad tragedy is about to happen in that Egyptian desert. But God was there. With all of his love, he was there. And he opens up the sea. And the children of Israel, they go across that sea on dry land, and then God destroys their enemy. It's then when God comes to his people, and God says, "You have seen my love. You have seen my care. You have seen my protection. You have seen my blessing." Now I'm going to make a deal with you. I will be your God, and I will love you and protect you and comfort you and strengthen you and sustain you and bless you, and you will be my people. And you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. There's where he asks for that love. Only after they have seen and experienced his love in the first place. And the children of Israel said, you know, that sounds like a pretty good deal to us. You will be our God and we will be your people. You will love us, and because you have first loved us, we will love you back. The Lord has not changed his approach, you know. He approaches us just like he approached the children of Israel. Because, you know, the land that we're living in, it's really a land of slavery too. Because we're living in a land of sin, and it's a rotten land, a hurtful land. And sometimes it seems there is no escape from that land of sin. But our God is here. He's in the land, right here, in our land of sin. And his love is here. John tells us earlier in his gospel, in this you can see God's love, that he sent his Son into this sinful world. And John doesn't stop there, because he says what that Son does. He goes to the cross and he becomes a sacrifice for all of his people. Jesus says in the text here, he says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And oh, how he shows himself to us. He points us to that cross, and he shows us himself. And from that cross pours down all of God's love. I have loved you with an everlasting love, he says. With all of my love, I have forgiven you. With all of my love, I have opened heaven for you. I love you. I mean, that's God talking to this sinful world. That's God talking to you and talking to me. And it's only after people like ourselves have seen that love that God comes to you and to me and he says, now, you have seen my love, haven't you? You've been to the manger. You've been to the cross. You've seen that open and empty tomb. You've seen my strength and my comfort and my blessing. I've given them to you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will love you. I will bless you. I will make you a blessing. And you will love me. And we say, yeah, Lord, you know what? That's a deal. You love me, and I will love you too. Then a few minutes go by, and we kind of fall out of love. We fail him somehow, or we get busy, and we just, you know, we that love that we profess for him, that seems not to be such a big deal anymore. That happens sometimes. Do you look at what our Lord does, our Jesus does? He says, however many times that you fail, however many times you fall away from me, however many times you fail me, I will never fail you. I will always love you. In fact, nothing, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from my love. Oh, what a love. It's a love that causes us to love them back. And there's nothing fake or imitation or counterfeit about his love. That's real love. And you know that love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. As the people of God, we confess together our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, though we are unworthy of your grace, it is your delight to love and to redeem us. Help us to walk worthy of the love that you revealed through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, because of our Lord's birth, his holy life and perfect obedience, and his death and resurrection, you have counted us worthy to be called your own children. Help us to reflect this gift in lives of holiness and purity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, bless those who lead us in this and every land. Guide us in the pursuit of freedom, justice, and peace for all people everywhere. Bless also the leaders of our synod, district, and this congregation. Help us all to rejoice in our baptismal calling and in the vocations that you have given to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, it is your will that all people might come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Inspire our witness to him, and by the Holy Spirit, open hearts that are hardened by sin and the devil, that all may know the power of his forgiveness and the hope of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, during this time of pandemic, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light. Through him who suffered alone on the cross, but reigns with you in glory, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give also skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for the sick, and your wisdom to those searching for a cure. Strengthen them with your Spirit, that through their work many will be restored to health. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, we ask that you bring peace, healing, and strength to the sick and the suffering, the aged and the dying. We especially remember this day Ilsa Hornig, Patrice Stewart, and Art Williams. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we give praise and thanks along with those who are celebrating special milestones and joys, especially Ted Vogel and his family, as they celebrate his 92nd birthday and 54 years as a member here at Chapel of the Cross. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to bless him both in faith and in life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, hymn number 645 in Lutheran Service Book, Built on the Rock.